Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. The news don't stop for nobody. I really haven't had time to get to today's news all that much since there's been so much from yesterday that I needed to get in, and so I apologize if I missed anything time-sensitive. I definitely spent too much time today educating people on Twitter about UBI, but I'm doing my best to keep up. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. Ro Khanna just introduced a bill that, if you've been listening to Yang Speaks, you will recognize. The Cheaters Bill. No, not that kind. It calls for a $100 billion increase in funding for the IRS. No, calm down, stop throwing stuff. They have their purpose. As I was saying, $100 billion over 10 years, with 70% going to enforcement of the existing tax code, 20% to taxpayer services, and 10% to technology modernization. As we've discussed before, the IRS largely ignores the wealthy because they say they don't have the budget to afford audits on complex taxes, leaving the audits falling almost exclusively on the lower and middle class, which is not where the money is. In the words of Roe, Wall Street has been able to act like high-rolling gamblers with almost zero consequences for far too long. Right now, the wealthiest 1% are responsible for roughly 70% of the tax gap, the difference between taxes owed and taxes paid. Cheaters would require the IRS to use the money to increase audits of the wealthy and corporations, with targets to audit 95% of corporations that have more than $20 billion in assets, 50% of individual tax returns that have more than $10 million in income, 33% of individuals between $5 and $10 million, and 20% of individuals between $1 and $5 million. It would also increase penalties for millionaires who falsify their tax returns. It's estimated that every $1 spent would generate over $11 in tax revenue, totaling $1.2 trillion over a decade. How about we throw that into a UBI, eh? Senators Cotton and Romney, on the other hand, have introduced a bill to raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour over 5 years, as well as crack down on illegal immigrants. So I guess it's nice that some Republicans are acknowledging there is a problem with unlivable wages, but I'm wondering why they waited until now to put this forward, why it's proposing to replace unlivable wages with still unlivable wages, and why they support market-distorting, poverty-maintenance, bureaucratic regulations like minimum wage instead of pro-free market UBI. Go ahead, ask them. Frankly, I don't know how the GOP gets away with calling themselves pro-capitalist when they do stuff like this. Moving on. UBI fever has reached the leftist party of the Netherlands. They have presented a plan to implement UBI over the course of 8 years. No further details at the moment, but very cool. And it doesn't stop there. Canada's Green Party leader, Annemie Paul, is calling on the federal government to launch discussions on creating a national UBI as the only way to create a true social safety net. Better yet, Julie Zarowicz has introduced Bill C-273, Canada's first UBI bill. It would create a mandate for the federal government to research UBI and develop a plan of implementation. There's a petition for the bill that is already close to the goal of 10,000 signatures. If you live in Canada, push that baby over the top at the link below. I'm surprised to be announcing that we have, as far as I've seen, our first article on the sexual benefits of UBI. It's original, Pete'll give you that. The author is an erotica novelist and sex tech journalist. It's largely just a focused version of points we're familiar with: increased affordability, freedom from exploitation of workers, and to explore interests and passions. Just, you know, the passions in this case are a little more naked. I appreciate the mention of how UBI would increase access to birth control for people who currently have trouble affording it. What appear to be the prior hosts of a now-defunct Basic Income podcast are appearing as guests on the Intrinsic podcast to talk where we're at in the fight for UBI. Yang returned to Scott Galloway's podcast for another episode where they talked plans for New York City. And remember that Karen Hunter episode I mentioned a while back for her call-out of Yang's qualifications? I finally got around to listening to the entire thing, which I somehow missed before, and it's fantastic. I'd say it's among the top five public performances from Yang that I've seen. He absolutely nailed it, and the cast had great questions and responses. It's one of those that really drives home how our democracy needs reform to be biased less against people like Yang, because he so clearly should have been our president. The thread below also has a few of my other favorite Yang interviews and town halls in it. ResistBot has a petition going to reinstate the FCC's fairness doctrine, which established rules to promote fair and honest discourse in TV and radio, but was repealed in the 80s. Many think this would help reduce the falsehoods and partisan reporting that have been destroying democratic governance. I would say we need something even stronger, something that actually punishes empirical lies, false facts, audited by independent panels with strong rules of evidence. Since we've gone over the fairness doctrine before, I won't detail it again. You can read about it in the link below as well as find the petition there. Finally, I want to give a shout out to a couple of Yang Gang who I see out there on the interwebs doing work every day, Shane Moynihan and Blake. Blake has been hitting the text banking real hard for Yang and says the response is incredibly positive, and Shane I frequently see responding in Twitter comments with very patient and positive humanity-first encouragement toward UBI and other humanitarian policies. I love the passion, I appreciate the time input, keep it up, gang. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Give some support to the politicians in the Netherlands and Canada making the push for UBI. Sign the UBI petition if you're in Canada and the FCC petition. Check out the Karen Hunter interview if you haven't. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the ResistBot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way. And don't forget to Yang Daily.